Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Real Expat Wives of Saudi Arabia. I have not been on here in a hot minute. It has been a wild and crazy summer. I know for many it's like that, but I feel like this past summer was just exceptionally momentous and a lot going on. So my last recording was all the way back, I think in April, or maybe I released it in May. But so from May until now, which is, we're right about to end September, man, oh man, how am I going to pack this all in? So I'm going to take the next episode to just self-talk and catch up on what has been going on in my world in terms of being an expat, a mom, a wife, a graduate student in her master's program for nursing, a daughter, a sister. Ooh, girl, it's just been crazy. So hope you guys enjoy and get some benefit from this next episode. Okay, so I'm gonna have to check myself. My last release on this podcast was all the way back in March, and I was just coming back from a spring break, I believe, with my twins. We had done a Caribbean cruise, so that was a lot of fun. And then, I had done Tbilisi first with my husband, and then I flew straight to the States to do that with my girls for the spring, and then came back in the Indian Ocean. It's east of Madagascar, which is east of the continent of Africa. It is probably the only other island that I know of besides Haiti that the people speak French Creole. I found that fascinating and very unique about that island. The people are lovely. The music is really nice. The food is great. We stayed on the east side of the island. It seems like the more popular touristy side is the west side, where you can see the sunset on the ocean every night, which is kind of like my thing, but I'm not a sunrise girl. I'm definitely a sunset girl, but the east side was nice and quiet, and we had a lovely time. We stayed at an adult-only resort, and if you go on my Instagram, you guys can see posts from that resort. It was really, really fantastic. There's a lot of older people there. We felt kind of young. we missed the we're always in that balance of like, okay, like we travel like we're old, but we're not old. Like Dave and I are only in our 40s, and so we kind of sometimes feel like we're in between. It's hard to find other couples our age and whatnot when we're out on these trips. April and then May, we were gearing up for, we had a really quick whiplash of a trip out to Kerala, India. Southern India, Kerala, is completely different from like all of the rest of India. Kerala is a lovely tropical beachy town type place in India. And we went because we sponsor a wonderful man named Shibu Raju. If he's listening, Shibu, we love you. We've spoiled this man and he has spoiled us. So we sponsor him. He is from Kerala and he has been for many, many years stashing his cash and building his own house back in India. And he has a little plot next to where his brother already has a house. And so his parents were there and we flew in. He set us up in a hotel right there on the beach. And there's a famous like lighthouse there on the beach. I don't know the name of it, but very long Indian name. Again, my travel account on Instagram is travels_with_Kim. Travels with Kim underscore in between the words. It was so important for him that we went to his housewarming. And that was just a lovely 24-hour, really quick trip in India. I got to meet and hug and see his mom and his dad and all his family. I think the whole village was kind of there. I mean, people came from all over. It was like very ceremonial. We missed a lot of the Hindu ceremonial type offerings, but they still had the remnants of those things in the home with like, you know, the things that they do and they offer up to the Hindu gods with the incense and whatnot. It was just a beautiful, beautiful time. The food, I love Indian food. Dave was really struggling. So at the end of the night, we went back to the hotel and ordered a lot of meat because Indians don't eat meat. And I honestly, you know, I do think a lot of it has to do with just the cost of it when it comes down to it. So looks like a really lovely part of India. So, yeah, that was great. And then we turned around, and about a week later, we had to head out to the States. My oldest has graduated. She graduated high school. She spent 4 years in a school there on the Big Island in boarding school. She spent 4 lovely years on that amazing magical island, was completely immersed and was welcomed by a lot of the day students that had grown up there their whole lives. And so she was able to make some really great connections, make some really great memories, and was able to be as irresponsible as possible within those 4 years because it all came to a quick halt once she started college. She's now in the whole midst of adulting, and it's like, man, she's like, Mom, I miss Hawaii. And I'm like, do you miss Hawaii, or do you just miss the simplicity of Hawaii? And she's like, yeah, I just miss the simplicity of it all. And I kept telling her, high school's a wrinkle in time. You've got to really take advantage of those 4 years because you're not an adult yet. You're still a minor. You can still make a lot of mistakes and learn a lot. So and have a lot of fun while you're at it. The guardian angels work overtime during those years. I know they did for me. That's for darn sure. So it was so crazy because my husband and I had to leave Saudi. We flew into Miami. So that very night, he took an Uber, took off to buy us a second car because now we need 2 cars in Florida, one for my daughter and one while we're in town. And then I went and grabbed my car from my mom's, who, love you, Mom, lets me keep her car, my car there. But now that Abby's there, it's all good. I don't have to get it from her house anymore. And then I drove to Fort Lauderdale from, so I Ubered from Miami to my mom's out in Coral Springs, and then I drove to pick up the twins at Fort Lauderdale Airport, which they were delayed, and it was raining cats and dogs. They were super, super delayed. I didn't get back, and then we had to drive up to our home from Miami to Fort Lauderdale, up to West Palm Beach. We didn't get back home till like 11 p.m., almost midnight, and then we had to turn back around that next morning very early to get back to Fort Lauderdale Airport to get on a plane to go to Hawaii as all 4 of us as a family. And so that was very interesting, and there was no room for error. So thank you, angel guides, and thank you, God, for helping make that all smooth. We got into Hawaii, we settled into our Airbnb, and then that very next afternoon was Abigail's graduation. And Dave's mom had flown out to Hawaii about a week prior to help her pack up her dorm room, which was very helpful because everything was boxed up when we got there. She had about 5 boxes we had to ship from Hawaii to Florida, so you can imagine the cost. It was like, wasn't quite $1,000, but it was like in that range, like almost there. She gave a lot of stuff away, and then her graduation was just amazing. Hawaii does graduations a lot different than the traditional graduations that are done in the States, in mainland. They keep it very true to their Hawaiian culture. They do Hawaiian dancing and Hawaiian songs and Hawaiian gowns and dresses, and they do the alae ceremony where after the actual ceremony they lay each other, and so they have lays all the way up to the top of their head. You can barely almost see their faces because they each give each other so many lays. Some of them weren't actual flowers, so she's been able to keep some of them as memory. They had like an amazing grad night situation that I was able to actually help decorate for. They had a whole night planned for them in secret, and it was kind of like when I was in high school and we did grad night, they would take us on the bus at nighttime from our high school in Coral Springs. They would bus us up to Orlando, and they would let us do, we did Pleasure Island and Magic Kingdom, but like overnight. So like no one was at the park except for the high school students. So that was a lot of fun. It was kind of like that, but they took them all around. They took them to like a restaurant that was closed out and rented out. They took them to like a beach for a section. They took them, they did all kinds of stuff. So Abigail was absolutely exhausted by the time we had gotten there. But we stayed on the Big Island for a whole week, and she got to spend some time with her friends and just go to all the graduation parties. We had one night at our little Airbnb. We made sure like the rental was set up so that they could enjoy themselves for one night at our house. I mean, there's no way I can repay all the parents that took my daughter for a weekend or for a Thanksgiving or a long weekend or a break. And the least I could do when I'm on the island is just invite everyone over to the place that I'm renting, and hopefully it doesn't get too loud or they don't make a mess, as long as I don't have to explain anything to the owners. I mean, it's just the gratitude I have for the families that take in boarders is beyond. Boarding students are put in a very vulnerable situation, and so, I mean, yeah, I could just go on and on about that. Once we settled our week there at the Big Island, we took off to Maui for a whole nother week in celebration of Abby finishing high school. She had never been to Maui, and we had this Airbnb total emergency. So we're leaving the Big Island. I mean, this is less than 24 hours before we're supposed to get to our next destination. And you know, Maui's just a hop, a puddle hop away. But they email, and we're trying to like get to the airport and catch our flight and pack up and everything, make sure the rental's all good before we leave. You know, we gotta like take the trash out and like, you know, not leave it like a total mess. So they're saying that the owners of the place that we rented next canceled. And this has never happened to me. And I've been traveling internationally for 8 years. This has never happened to me before. So I'm like, what in the world do I do? So I'm at the airport and I'm like, I'm emailing Airbnb. And Airbnb was great. They were just like, please provide the email. So I had to like screenshot email correspondence and all of this and that. And so just so that like we wouldn't be charged, I didn't want to get charged for the place that obviously just kind of sold out on us like last freaking minute. Oh, and I wanted to make sure we got a full refund. So that was what my main concern was. So I'm handling all of that in the middle of us literally about to board a flight. And then so I'm looking for a new place to stay for a whole week in Maui, which is not easy. You know, there's five of us and these resorts are like outrageous, right? So we did some shopping. I mean, it was just like we could not believe when we heard about the fires how like everything we had witnessed and experienced was literally in ash and gone and up in flames. So that was wild. Our heart goes out to the Lahaina people and the people of Maui. I do believe it is very sectioned off. I do believe the rest of Maui is quite open. I know if people are hesitating about going, please don't. It's just that one area of Lahaina that's kind of out of service until God knows when. So much history, very sad. The Hawaiian people are super resilient, and I know good things will come out of it, even though there's been a lot of sadness and a lot of suspicious things that don't make sense and don't add up about that whole fire. Once we had that one night in Lahaina, we went to our new, it was like a resort slash like timeshare type place. So it was like apartments, but yet a resort at the same time. It was absolutely stunning. I think it was a blessing in disguise that we got this other place instead. And we did it all, y'all. Like Dave was like, if we're going to Maui, we're just gonna do the damn thing. So we did the helicopter ride. We did, of course, the luau. We did a hike. That was amazing. We had this amazing Hawaiian guide that took us to several different waterfall spots. We did a day out on the catamaran snorkeling. The snorkeling was amazing. We did it all. Like, yeah, our bank account was suffering and we're still recovering to this day, 4 months later. No, I'm kidding. But it was just an amazing time to be with the girls and to be with Abby. For that momentous moment, she turned 18, she graduated, and she kind of left this place that she had known for 4 years and had to kind of switch gears. She is still struggling with the I think she's transitioned very well. It's a big transition for kids, especially I think when they go from boarding back to like living at home. I guess for kids that go from boarding to like another situation where they're away from home. In a full-time dorm situation, it could be same, but like we have a home in Florida. And so even though Abby does have a dorm room at her college, she kind of goes back and forth between home and the dorm. So yeah, she's at FAU now, and she had, once we came back from Hawaii, I had to hit the ground running with my clinical hours, which was supposed to be 4 weeks long. It turned into six because I got this nasty ear infection in Hawaii, and then like as we flew from Hawaii back to Florida, it just like got really, like the effusion in my ear got really, really bad. I think I was deaf for like a week, and the fluid that kind of just couldn't come off my ears, and then it kind of went into my chest, and then So my clinicals got pushed back a little bit. Thankfully, Dave was still with me for about a week and a half, but I kind of just like slept a lot and was like coughing and blowing so much snot off of my face. And then once he left and I started clinicals, I had an 18-year-old and 15-year-old twins stuck at home a few nights a week because I had to go to my clinical site, which was a three-hour drive from where I was in West Palm, almost up to like the Daytona area. Good news about that was my sister, love you, Bran, and my sister and her wife, G, love you guys to death. They allowed me to stay at their house, which is a 30-minute drive to the clinic that I was being precepted at. So I got to hang out with them, which was like totally cool. They've kind of witnessed me go through like this nursing process. So it was just awesome to be able to do that. But I think it was a very vulnerable situation for my girl. I mean, we live in a gated community. It's got a gate. It's got a security guard at night. We have cameras. Abby's 18. The twins were, I mean, they survived. Listen, some things went down. We've had some conversations. We've had some major life-changing things happen, but everybody's okay. We're all good. Mostly has to do with just like how to protect yourself as a female when it comes to like, you know, getting sexual with the opposite sex. So like, guys, those of you with young ones, it is coming. Like, teenage years are no joke. It is very hard when they're little. It's just a new level of hard when they're older, and making sure that they know how to protect themselves and be safe. I mean, just come on, just even female pleasure alone in the sexual realm is not a conversation that's been had like historically, right? So like, pass on. I think just generation's doing a lot better than than the past generations have. Anyways, it has just been mind-blowing, the things that my girls and I have talked about this past summer and the stages that they're going through and that they're growing through. They blow me away. They're such amazing girls. And then while I'm going through clinicals and then back and forth, Stasia, we got her with like a track coach. Stasia is very athletically inclined. So she got with this amazing track coach that we were paying like good money for her to have sessions with. And then she has this hip injury. And so come to find out, she has bursitis. So like, she couldn't train with this coach. Like, Dave is an ex-athlete. Dave knows, like, in your off season, what you do in your off season determines how successful you will be in your in season. And so we were just like, oh, okay, let's get her some extra training so that like she comes in and she's like ready to go for track season. Well, that's just not going to happen for this little girl. She actually had to be held back a week later from going back to school. She was supposed to go back for like preseason. If you guys are in boarding and they're in sports, they like them to come back like a week or two early for kind of like that sport. It's like a boot camp for that sport. And so she was supposed to come back for preseason for cross country. And with bursitis, it takes months to heal. So I was able to get her into like 9 sessions of physical therapy. She had some really great chiropractic physiotherapy and physical manipulation on her pelvis area, which really helped her a lot. And then she gets back to school. By the way, on the way to the airport when I'm taking her, her phone like completely dies. So then I completely lose contact with her. Once she gets back to school, we're communicating through her laptop, which she eventually broke like another week later. So then I had like no way to communicate with her. Then we got an email that her hip that had bursitis now is actually fractured. She went sprinting with some friends somewhere. She's like been on crutches with this hip, and we don't know when she'll start to run again. But so poor little Peanut. Going through that, we checked up on her pineal gland cyst. Everything looks good. We're going to check up again every summer with an MRI. Bella had some art classes over the summer, but for the main part, Bella just laid around. I was a bit concerned about her over the summer. Abby, she got her, my oldest, she got her her little boyfriend. They're still together. He's going to transfer to FAU to be with her next semester. I think they both might actually transfer to USF. They're actually going to visit some friends of his at USF this weekend, and she may be able to visit my grandma and my aunt that live in Tampa. So I would totally support that. Stasia's healing up with her hip. Bella, I had to fly with Bella separately back to Raven Gap, where Stasia is in Georgia, grab her stuff because Bella switched schools this summer. So we grabbed her stuff from Raven Gap, which the rental car fiasco, I could do a whole nother episode on. We flew into Atlanta and our rental car, and which ended up being like an F-152 truck, and I was totally not comfortable driving it. the AC wasn't working and we're driving up into the mountains. I can't turn around. It's too far away. And I'm trying to like see my niece and my great niece, who I wanted to spend time with as well. Every time I go into Georgia, I want to stop and see them. Oh my gosh. Long story short, we were able to switch out the car at like a satellite rental car place somewhere else in the mountains. And that whole process took way longer than we thought, because the one we got into, something else wasn't working when we got in the car, and then we went to another car, and then something else wasn't working in that car, and then we went back to the minivan. The minivan had the license plate of Virginia on it, so I kind of had a feeling like that, because that's where we were ending up, was back in Virginia. On our way to Virginia, I was able to actually stop in Pinehurst, North Carolina, and see a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in like 20 years, so that was wild. My girl Darcy, her and her husband are doing so well in the little town of Pinehurst, North Carolina. Beautiful little town. So picture perfect, like a Hallmark movie. But a lot of that area is like that. Georgia, the Carolinas, Virginia, very small towns up there in those parts. Still, thankfully, there are parts in America that are still like that. There's a lot of differences between the school in Georgia and the school where she's at now. And I feel like the one that she's at now is just a better fit. Boarding school is all about fit. It's about the fit for the kid. And if it fits with the kid, you know, it's going to work. It's going to be fine. There's no perfect boarding school. Every boarding school has its issues. You know, you just kind of got to roll with the punches and allow your kid to advocate for themselves, to just don't get involved. And if you have to, you can. But for the most part, anything that my kids have had an issue with, they've been able to address head on. And I haven't had to really get involved much at all. The girls don't want me to. They don't like when I do, because I get a little worked up sometimes. So they know their mom. So anyways, once I got back, I was done with clinical. I had sent Stasia off to school. We were still dealing with how to get her a new phone and a new laptop. And I'm gearing up to pack myself up and get myself my butt back to Saudi. Because remember now, it's been like 4 months, you know, we're limited. We have a 188-day, which is 6 months allowance as a dependent wife. To have family status, you got to be in kingdom for 6 months. So I was running my limit, y'all, this year. Like 48 hours before I'm supposed to leave for Saudi, I locked myself out of the house. Abby has to drive from her college to come let me in with her key, which is like a 40-minute drive. It's not too bad. She lets me in. We go out to eat. We leave each other from that point, and then she gets rear-ended, and I'm only 10 minutes away from her. So I turn back around, get back to where she is, and deal with this whole rear-ended issue. She was fine. He came at her from behind pretty bad, because our car's been totaled, and his car definitely has, because his car looked way worse than ours. He was very cooperative. He was very apologetic. I think he was definitely high. I mean, Abby said when he opened the door, it was like nothing but smoke. But I mean, it's South Florida, like whatever. Yeah, so that was, and then I didn't feel right. And like, so now we're getting into 24 hours before I leave to come back to Saudi. I could feel it. I said, oh my gosh, I'm getting a virus. And this has happened to me before. I've had like 24 hours before a trip, a virus will hit me. And then by the time I fly, like I'm good, not like 100%, but like I'll be like at 80. So yeah, I'm shivering on the couch, sweating out a fever. And I'm going, okay, 24 hours, here we go. Like, let's sweat this thing out. Broke the fever. Had enough energy to get up and clean, you know, deep clean the home, do last minute things that I like to do before I leave the country. Again, Abby's back and forth. Thank God we have cameras too, to keep an eye on everything. So I grabbed myself some NyQuil, some DayQuil. I made it through the flight back. Once I landed, which is the worst route ever, it was Miami to Bahrain back into Saudi. I will never, ever do that again, because it's like a hour and a half drive from my house to Miami, and then from Bahrain to Saudi, it's another 2 hours. It's just a long journey, y'all. That's all I'm gonna say. So from now on, oh, and then British Airways, hello, sorry to like harp on y'all, but what the actual F is up with charging $100 a bag? Like, I was blown away. I was like, no, he did not. Because my husband and I had two bags on the way into America, and he only charged us for two instead of four. So that was very nice of him, because I was throwing a fit at the counter. I was like, are you out your damn mind? $100 a bag? No airline. You get two check bags free with every other airline. Why is British Airways different? Okay, don't let me get started on the British, okay? Yeah, that was it. That was my summer, y'all. I came back and was just exhausted. I have never had such a hard time with jet lag before than I did this past time coming back. I got back September 2nd and I'm good now, but it took me like a good 2 weeks. Usually it takes me a few days. Like, it's no big deal. We just got back from a really quick, just 4 or 5 day trip. We went to Austria and Hungary. We did Vienna and then Budapest. We flew in through Vienna, stayed there 2 nights, and then we trained over a 3-hour train ride over into Hungary. And wild, y'all, wild, okay? No passport checks, no checking of the luggage, no. I mean, you could be smuggling some shit, okay? And no one would know. So that was wild. We got into Budapest. Budapest is so much fun. It's not as clean and pristine and like nice as Vienna. Vienna truly is like the Paris of Eastern Europe. I mean, it's really, really stunningly beautiful. It's just a little boring and stuck up. Budapest is kind of like the stepsister, a little more rugged. Beautiful architecture, just as nice. It's just not as clean. And it's like more fun. Like, there's music, there's like clubs, there's bars, there's, you know, there's outside parks where there's DJs until like 11 o'clock at night, you know, things like that. It's definitely a younger vibe and a much funner feel. A little bit of like Amsterdam feel to it, like just party and like house music and like drinking, except there's no legalization of marijuana, which, that's what makes Amsterdam so special, I guess. But yeah, that was my summer in a freaking nutshell, y'all. It has just been, you know, I want to say this though. What made me really gear up to do, I was actually just going to throw the podcast like in the basket, because I was like, oh, I've got no one lined up. I haven't done it in so long. Like, let me just say, hey, I had my spin. I had my run with it and like let it go. And then something happened. I was helping a friend doing her final exit. So she's divvying up her whole house to sell off. She's one of those people that came with clothes and left with clothes. Like, she just sold everything and I helped her. She did it really quick. She did it within like 2-3 days and then was on the plane like that weekend. Her situation was very unique and I could probably do an interview with her if she'd come on. If I can convince her. And so, you know, people are coming through the house to, you know, to see. I was helping her like post, you know, like, hey, there's an exit sale, like come check it out, come see what they've got. And so people are coming through the house and this one lady stops and goes, are you Kim? And I said, yeah, that's me. And she goes, I recognize your voice. Are you the one with the podcast? And I said, yeah, that's me. And she goes, well, I just got to tell you, I'm new here and my husband and I, we're British, but we've been expats in New Zealand for many years. And I just want to tell you how much your podcast has helped me prior to coming and settle in and just kind of get like a feel for what it's like hearing all the different perspectives and the different women. And it was just very helpful to me. And she kept saying that like over and over again. And I was just like so touched and just kind of blown away that the ripple effect had come full circle. And it was like right in front of my face. She was such a slay. And the term slay, you guys will know if she ever comes on. I would love to have her on because she has her own story and we all do. So yeah, so that's it. I really appreciate anyone that takes the time to listen to this. You can always put it on 1.5 or 2 speed and it'll go quicker. And if anyone cares to just listen to me ramble for this past episode, I've caught up with a few special few already. That's what we do when we all kind of reconvene after the summer. We get together and say, how was your summer? Oh my goodness. How was your summer? And then we kind of all kind of have to catch up because we haven't seen each other for months and months. So love everybody. And I hope everyone is doing well. And I hope that this is beneficial. And I have some people lined up now and we have some great interviews in store. And I just can't wait to keep it going, y'all. If anyone wants to come on, please reach out. All of my info will be down in the show notes. Love y'all. Bye.